You'll never guess what I saw when I went to get sushi yesterday.
Someone of Asian descent making fish things?
Well, eating fish, more like it.
Okay.
But I saw...
Shigeru Miyamoto.
No. Let me finish. Let me finish for once. I saw a cartoon anime goth girl eating sushi on the table beside us. And she was wearing like a all black, had like a huge eyeliner going right on her eyelids and going right down her face to the back of her head, like black lipstick, like tiny short black skirt and a shirt.
Stop being so vivid. You're getting me excited.
No, just in like a shirt that are like her tits were just popping out so much. And she was with a guy, like this guy that just was wearing like a Miami Heat jersey, just jean shorts and a scraggly old beard. And like you could pick two of the most different people to have sushi together. And it was there at that sushi restaurant.
I wish you had done a little incognito picture. He's lucky to have her in his life.
Okay.
Miami Heat, eh?
Yeah, Miami Heat.
That's so kawaii.
Yeah, but like at least they found love. Although she was really ditzy.
They found love in a hopeless place.
She was like, man, the mall is always so busy. I'm just like, it's because it's a mall.
Garrett, just because you have an intelligent girlfriend doesn't mean you need to ruin it for everyone else.
Okay. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. They must be a lovely couple. They just looked like one of those calendars that's like unlikely friends.
It was like a perverse fantasy by Wes Anderson.
Yes. Wes Anderson in his animation phase. I don't know. So that was the most exciting thing that happened to me this week.
That's very exciting, actually. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. So, Andrew, let's start the show. I'm Garrett Stewart.
Proper.
With me is Andrew Rook. We are Beard and Tie. I'm the Beard.
I'm the Tie.
There we go.
All right.
Okay, so this is our podcast where we talk about video games, movies, books, TV, entertainment, pop culture, wow.
And mostly just the first two.
Yes.
And mostly just the first one.
I'm sure if you listen to our last couple of shows, we've been going on and on about video games. That's because it was E3 last week, and that's one of the most biggest weeks of the week in terms of video games.
It's like Pentecost for gamers.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
Never mind. That was nothing. Okay. Continue.
Yeah, so we've just been like preoccupied with it, like just trying to follow the video games. Because there's more news in that than there were movies. Like, you saw Man of Steel. I told you. But I still have yet to see it because I'm waiting to see it with my special lady. So hopefully that'll be coming up soon. And then
I hope it doesn't end your relationship.
Yeah. How long is it?
It's about 2.5 hours.
Okay, so that's not so bad. It's not Watchmen length.
It's pretty long, and it has beautiful cinematography. So just plug your ears.
Okay. What's Clark Kent like? Is he like Raiden?
Clark Kent.
How do I save my game?
He's like Christopher Reeve, except he parts his hair on the wrong side, and he's got curly hair.
Fucking Zack Snyder. Okay,
a lot of canonical elements are ruined. Mm. So I hope you're not a fan of the comics.
I told you that would happen.
Well, not like as much of the Superman story anyway.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan is going to come in and make it all too realistic.
All I'm saying is I hope you like Sears and IHOP because you're going to be seeing them a lot.
Yeah, everybody's been saying that. Like Reddit has and our movies, if I may. Yeah, I'm still going to see it. So maybe I'm going to have a different experience because we have a very different taste in movies.
Yes, mm-hmm. Mr. Cloud Atlas. I'm so sorry I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, actually, friend of the show, Jason Kirchner, saw it. And he was a fan. He said that although it was really weird to have a bunch of white actors in yellow face, he thought that he gives a big applause to Tom Hanks because he took on a role that's just so different and new and out of character for him, and he like had to just believe in the project.
I'm just happy when he doesn't play Woody.
There's a snake in my boot.
Howdy, partner.
Someone poison the water hole.
I think the second shot in Superman is that of a dinosaur, so you know what you're getting yourself into.
Tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but going back to Woody from Toy Story, when he said someone poisoned the water hole when I was younger, I used to say, someone pissed in the water hole.
You are a bad child.
I know. Yeah, you gotta make that movie even better than it already was.
I didn't think like that, I guess. You're much more creative than I am.
No, you're a writer.
No, I'm not. I'm the type of guy that would write Lost. That's not my writing skill.
Oh, did you hear that the Prometheus... I tweeted about this, but Prometheus 2 is moving forward. But Damon Lindelof is not attached as a writer.
Is that like part of the announcement?
Yeah.
No.
It's I can't remember who the writer that's replacing him is, but
anyone.
Yes.
Anyone.
And I tweeted about it. It was like I liked Prometheus 1. Even with the way it ended, I didn't really think that it needed a sequel. Like, I think it's fine just the way it ends with spoilers with Michael Fassbender just flying, zipping through the air trying to find the engineers that are already trying to kill them.
Don't forget Noomi Rapace was there too. Sorry, yes. Noomi Rapace.
So, yeah, there's definitely an opening for a sequel, but I just didn't think that it needed one.
I think the sequel is Alien, and it's really good.
Yeah, but that's not for another couple thousand years.
Yeah, you're right.
That being said, though, with this new writer attached, it might be the movie that we wanted Prometheus 1 to be in the first place.
Did you hear about Blade Runner 2?
For years, I've heard about Blade Runner 2.
A writer's been attached. It was the guy, the genius that wrote the Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, this is going to get fucked. What is it with Ridley Scott? I think he just gets drunk at these Hollywood bars and these writers seduce him.
Maybe the screenwriter for Green Lantern was British?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe he's hot.
Man, but that's terrible. That's...
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they didn't make a sequel to that. A video game would be cool.
Mm-hmm. No, it's called...
They made a great video game.
Isn't it? Snatcher. What? It's Snatcher. The video game is called Snatcher.
They made the Blade Runner video game in 97, too, for the director's cut, and it's one of the founding games of that sort of... What is it? Point and click.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot of cool elements in it, and super cool graphics. There's a real 90s video about it. You should watch it sometime.
I should. You know, my favorite 90s video is that... Like the video Nintendo Power sent out to fans to promote Donkey Kong Country. Because it's like the epitome
the
of 90s.
The password is Diddy.
It's so stupid.
Oh, God. Because
that's what everybody was all about in the 90s. Like the guy's wearing like a plaid shirt with his sleeves ripped off and is wearing his hat backwards.
It's like watching Bobby in Twin Peaks.
And he's talking to all the QA testers that are just like, they seriously look like they're kids right out of high school. And I'm like, you're working in the Nintendo treehouse. it's so funny because like the guy just is just like, whoa, it's bananas for lunch. Whoa, what can you tell me about these crazy levels? What about this music? And the guys these interviews are like, well, we have this new supercomputer that's allowing us to do 3D rendered animations in a 2D plane. And we think we're using 12 layers of animation that we find is very, very amazing.
You could work for the treehouse, Garrett.
Mm-hmm. I should, but then we'd be much farther away from each other.
But then you'd be much closer to the industry.
But then I won't be able to talk about Nintendo in an open forum.
What if I say, yo, man, tell me what you know about the latest Nintendo news, and then you'd have to tell me.
And then Nintendo would shoot me after I do that.
They are worse than any other company on Earth for that sort of thing.
They are. Like,
they're like Walt Disney. They're very like nice on the outside, but they will come at you with an iron dildo.
If you make a YouTube video with footage from a game, they will come after you and
take all your money.
Take your advertising pay.
So I should tell them it's not about the money.
I don't know. I have a feeling it's Nintendo America that's doing this, because I have a feeling that Satoru Iwata doesn't care, because he made like $8 billion last year.
I used to not like him, but just remembering that he used to be president of HAL is enough for me to always forgive him, no matter what he does.
Yeah, and wasn't he the producer on Earthbound?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Someone thought, this piece of shit is just quirky enough to sell, and that probably was him.
Yeah, and then it didn't sell.
It sold fine, asshole. That's the reason to get a Wii U.
That's what I fucking hate about this shit, is that the creator of Chrono Trigger, when a few years ago he was doing an interview and someone said, so like Chrono Trigger is one of the greatest games ever made, and a lot of people love Chrono Cross. Like, can we ever get a sequel for Chrono Trigger? And he's like, well, if people wanted a sequel to Chrono Trigger, they should have bought more copies. I'm like, you can't judge that on something that happened 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just gonna start selling more SNES copies of the game. Like, after a certain point, it's just gonna stop.
Well, maybe I guess that's why a lot of people were obsessed fans with buying the DS remake, you know, just buying them up in bundles, because they thought that would send a good message.
Like, I just bought the DS remake because I heard it was one of the finest art.
It's the first time I played it. It was tits to the walls.
Yeah,
good.
Like, actually, let me tell you how I got into Chrono Trigger. I first saw Chrono Trigger, it was back in like 2006, but I was watching X-Play, and they're doing their top five lists of best RPGs, and Chrono Trigger was number two.
Yeah.
I think Final Fantasy VI was number one. Mm. And I'm like, okay. And then the DS remake came out a while later, and I'm like, okay, I should try that.
Yeah.
And I play it, I'm like, okay, it's standard RPG fair. Like, I play for a little bit and I turn it off and I'm like, not mind blown. But then I was in Florida on vacation. We were doing a trip from like Orlando to Naples, Florida, which is like a 6-hour drive. So I decided to just pull out Chrono Trigger and start playing, and six hours just gone. Like, I did not stop playing it, and I felt like I was just on it.
Back when the DS had a battery that could last longer than 4 hours.
I feel like I look down and I look up and I'm like, we're here already.
Your life has been changed forever.
This is the greatest game I've ever played.
I'm so happy my first version was the DS version, because I wasn't forced to compare it to the Super Nintendo and all my nostalgia, because it had a superior translation, all this new content. I'm just really glad it was my first version.
You think that they'd keep the same translation for the DS?
Well, it's just like little things, like, you know, between Japanese and English, a couple mistranslations that they fix, a couple story details they ironed out. Apparently, it's just a lot better.
Now, did you hear that, like, Spanish translations are the worst for Japanese RPGs?
Why is that?
I don't know, but I was just reading Did You Know Gaming, and, like, they're just saying, like, in Final Fantasy VII, in the Spanish translation, they referred to Aerith and Yuffie and Tifa as he and men, and, like, they're just small stuff, like, when they would say hurry, they would change it to hooray. So it's like just words that kind of sound the same but are not the same. They just change it like that, and that just...
I like to think in the age of Google language tools, we are past that now.
Well, I like to thank Bing. Who knew? But when our friend JP posts on Facebook in French and I'm like, oh, I don't know what that says. Oh, translation by Bing. Bing.
You actually went to Bing?
No, it just says it on Facebook. It says, would you like to see a translation? And you'd hit it.
I would.
It takes you in English and it says, please thank Bing, because it needs the money.
You know, anytime there's a Facebook event, you know, someone says, okay, we're going to such and such bar at such and such place. I see there's a map. Okay, should I just copy the address into Google Maps? No, I'm going to give Bing a chance. And 10 times out of 10, it'll always get me fucking lost. And I always say, fuck, I never should have clicked Bing.
Oh man. You know what I really hate is, like, in Facebook when people post articles from other websites and you click on them and they just say, this article is powered by Yahoo. If you want to read it, please let Yahoo send you notifications. And then I go... No. Open a new tab, go to Google, and type in the same name as the article.
I hate it when you always got to subscribe to all these stupid things. Yeah. And now I just do it, and I say, fucking don't bother me. I'll subscribe to your stupid shit. Mm-hmm. And then I unsubscribe if I need to.
Yeah.
Can we just backtrack for a second? When are you going to play Chrono Cross? Because if you like Chrono Trigger, you'll probably like its sequel.
I figure I'll play Chrono Cross when I have time. Probably not this summer. But maybe next summer, because I have a feeling with the new generation coming, I feel like there's going to be a drought of games, as there always is, and I feel like I'll have time then.
If by some miracle the Chrono Trigger threequel is announced, please tell me you won't play it before you play Chrono Cross.
I'll play Chrono Cross first, because even if they announce it tomorrow... It's going to still take like 6 years. It's going to be the last game coming out on the PS4.
Yeah. And then it'll get ported to the Xbox.
Yeah, but speaking like what I was talking about, I was actually looking at the list of every confirmed launch title for the PS4 and the Xbox One. I was reading it and I'm like, I do not want to get this system. I love, because I'm more leaning towards the PlayStation 4 than Xbox One. And PS4, it's like Knack, Killzone, Drive Club, and a bunch of third-party titles that are also going to be on the PS3, like Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed 4. So I'm
Wait, you're confusing your vernacular here. You said PS4, PS3. What?
Okay. So I was... The list of announced games for the PS4.
Yeah.
A lot of them are games that are also going to be available on PS3.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Like there's Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed 4, Call of Duty Ghosts.
Huh.
Just stuff, just games like that. It's really, like, I never really liked Killzone that much. Knack looks cool,
so
but it's
kind of like Twilight Princess on the GameCube and the Wii, except the Wii, at least there was a huge gameplay difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and like Second Infamous is like the game that I'm most excited for, for the PlayStation 4, but that's not coming out at launch, so who knows?
I think you can probably wait.
Yeah, who knows?
I still say, no matter what comes out for the Wii U, because I know I'm going to get it eventually, I would at least like to have the patience to wait for a single price drop.
Mm-hmm. That's true, and I'm...
Even like a $20 one, anything.
I have a feeling that when Pikmin 3 gets released, it will not be a price drop, but maybe like the 32-gigabyte model has Nintendo Land and Pikmin 3 is thrown in for free. Because that's
I really
what...
want to try Nintendo Land.
Yeah, apparently it's a game that that just shows you why the gamepad is good, and like it just has the more innovation than any other. It's full of innovation, more innovation than Nintendo games have done before.
Huh.
So yeah, I'd be really, really jonesing to try that. We should play Animal Crossing Street Sweet Treat and Mario Chase and Luigi's Ghost Hunt.
Whoa, what?
These are all mini games in Nintendo.
I thought you were announcing new games ahead. Jerk.
I got the inside scoop.
You
Nintendo came to me because they know that not a lot of people listen to this, so it'll be a while before this gets out.
Hmm.
Yeah, but these are, I was just talking about these mini games that are in Nintendo Land that are all the same game that just revolves around you playing tag with the other player.
Basically.
Basically, yeah. But yeah, so I have a feeling because I remember seeing when the Vita was struggling last, like a few months ago, there were a lot of bundles where like 250, you get three games and a free memory card
Is the
with
Vita
it.
not still struggling?
Still struggling. Like I don't really know about that system because I like my biggest problem is that the only games that they're announcing for it are games that I already played before on another console. Like Limbo is awesome.
But
But I'm not going to spend $250 to play it on a handheld.
well, my
Plus
biggest
another
problem
10.
is if I want to get the same Deus Ex Director's Cut functionality on my PS3 as there is on the Wii U, I need to get a PS Vita to take
Really?
the
Oh,
places of the game,
because. Okay.
to touch stuff. Yeah, and I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah. It's
Or you gotta
weird.
get this
And,
the
like.
glass thing from Xbox.
Smart glass. But that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the same thing. Like. They're at their Sony conference, their biggest announcement was that Walking Dead was coming to Vita. I'm like, that's not. Give us something new. Like Tearaway looks awesome, but just that one game isn't enough.
Yeah.
And it's just you need to stop re-releasing downloadable games. Like I know it's great for the people that already have Vitas, and more power to them. Like they're getting like. If I had a Vita for my own, like I just got it just walked through the door and crawled up into my hands and I had it. Yeah, I'd buy Limbo again in a second. I'd buy Walking Dead again. I'd just buy all these games that been released elsewhere.
Do you know the reason I got a PSP?
The hack.
No. Star Wars Battlefront Rogue Squadron, I think it
Oh,
was
that's
called.
right, because you had that Darth Vader PSP.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was such a bad game. But
Well.
then I found out about hacking, and Crisis Core was great, and it was Dissidia was fun. So I don't regret getting the system, even though I barely played it.
Yeah, like when Dissidia Dukakum came out, like that was really the only time that I felt like I really want to get a PSP.
And the fact that I have a PSP and haven't played that game just shows my disdain for the system.
But you also liked Metal Gear Solid, Peace
Oh, Portable
Walker?
Ops. Oh, I loved Peace Walker when I played it on my PS3, my PS Triple. Portable Ops was fun too on the PSP, but the second analog stick is definitely a nice addition.
Yeah, that's true. Like, after finally, I don't know, like, 'cause I played Resident Evil Revelations on my 3DS with both the Circle Pad Pro
Yeah.
and without. And I think without the Circle Pad Pro, it works just fine. And
Oh,
it's.
because that's what we're used to, like playing
Yeah.
RE4 on the GameCube and
Yeah,
stuff.
where you have to stop and aim.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
But, like, I honestly. But to be fair, like, I can't. I would not. Think about playing a first-person shooter with just that one.
Oh no, not unless it's Metroid Prime. Somehow they pulled it off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And so I guess Snake Eater came out in its Circle Pad Pro enabled too, so
I'm still in
there's
the dream,
that.
Snake Eater. Yeah, I wouldn't mind playing that version. I'm playing through it right now, still on the PS Triple.
Okay. Yeah, but that's what I just want to say because that it's just that whole V there their whole thing with the Vita is like you're not gonna sell more copies of the system just by giving us older games. Like
Yeah.
you gotta give us new games. Like I think my brother has Vita and he's playing Uncharted Golden Abyss right now and he loves it. And like because it's a new experience and
Yeah.
he loves what the system's doing in terms of like with the camera and with the touch screen and he thinks that it's great. Like he's been playing it all night. He absolutely adores that game.
Nerd.
Yeah. Fucking nerds. Yeah, and it's just that's the only thing. Like, I really want to try out the Vita. I really want to, because it looks like it's an LED screen. Games look gorgeous. Like, I played PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale on it, and it looks exactly like the PS3 version.
It's got some great hardware.
Mm-hmm. And dual analog sticks, which is great.
It's what gamers want.
It's like,
but then how come the Call of Duty game on there is so bad?
Because the studio that made it was so bad. Fair. It's because the thing, like, I heard multiplayer was actually really good. It's just regular Call of Duty multiplayer. But the single player is just, like, 2 hours long. You do these missions, which are actually challenge maps, where you go from point A to point B. And just, like, I played a bit of Black Ops the Classified, and it's, like, everything, like, it's Call of Duty on a handheld, and it works perfectly.
Really?
But it doesn't, like, the single player is not there. And unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to jump into the multiplayer. But, yeah, I don't know. That being said, though, like, I think that hardware-wise, the Vita is so much better than the 3DS. I just prefer my 3DS because I like the games on it. And
that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Andrew, we've been recording for 26 minutes, and I think it's time we make a special announcement. Today's episode of the Beard and Tie Podcast, we are going to announce our nominations and winners of our Best of E3 Awards.
I don't think we meant for that intro to take so long. This is the actual point of the episode.
Yes, this is meat and potatoes. Everything.
People are going to listen to our E3 nominations episode and say, what the fuck, I'm 25 minutes in, and they're not talking about
it yet. Well, they should know by now how off track we get.
Fair enough.
I think all our reviews say it, that we're missing that level of professionalism in this show.
Those reviewers can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, 4 stars. Are you kidding me?
4 stars.
Andrew Scott was nice enough to give us 5. It's actually good, because our lowest review is only 4 stars.
Yeah, I'll take it.
And it's from someone I don't even know, so, which is even better. So thank you.
Thank you, 4 star.
Thank you for everybody that's been reviewing us on iTunes.
Hey, you should take this dick sucking at the end. Come on.
Don't do that.
Man, it's bad enough that your microphone has a condom on it.
Oh, my dad listens to this show.
Oh.
Sorry, Dad.
Let's just move on. I'm sorry, Mr. Stirrup.
Okay. I can never show my face in my parents' house ever again.
You did it in the kitchen, Gareth, in the kitchen.
Okay. So, what do you want to call our awards? Do you want to call, I've been thinking, the Beardies, the Beardlies, the Beard Ties, the Tie-ees.
The B&Ts?
The B&Ts.
Hey.
I like that.
Just call me Don Draper. I can whip them off like that.
Okay. Thank you. I told you that I named my town an Animal Crossing Beard Tie.
I was very happy to hear that.
Yes.
I called mine Rando, as I always do, because apparently when I was very young and I had just seen Monsters, Inc., I loved Randall Boggs so much I wanted to name a town after him. And Rando was the obvious conclusion. So that's always my town name.
Animal Crossing. We should talk. We'll talk about Animal Crossing
at
more
a later day.
In depth next week.
Oh, yes. When after we've all paid off our houses and shit.
After we have more time.
After I finally get myself a silver shovel.
I haven't gotten. How do I get that?
I'll tell you.
Don't.
Later.
Later. I don't want to consult the wiki.
I actually. Okay, I'll tell you this little hint. You know, do you know how to unlock Mr. Rossetti's Reset Surveillance Center?
Yes, isn't it just you need to do your gyroid to get it back for 146,000 bells or something?
No, you can't unlock it until you turn off the game without saving. And
then
it'll pop up and say, happened.
He came up. Actually, yeah, yeah. I know we need to get on to our awards, but do you want to know why he's not in it?
Apparently he was too scary?
Yes, in Japan, he scared little girls, so they had that happen only one time. And you notice that when he does, like, the first time
he
shows
polite.
Up, he's just so calm.
I said, like, my battery ran out. I was like, oh, okay, you think maybe you could charge it next time? Thank you, goodbye. They made him optional. And, of course, he's, like, the first thing I unlocked now, because I feel so bad for the guy.
I didn't. Okay. We can't get off topic, but I just want to say, the first thing I built was a fire hydrant because I didn't want people to die in case of a fire.
Fuck you, it's Animal Crossing. You know, I built a street lamp, baby.
It was so stupid because none of my townspeople wanted to put money into the fire hydrant.
I got 1,000 bells from one of them.
I had to put 38,000 bells on my own money.
It's because you're stupid not to buy a fire hydrant for Animal Crossing.
Because, are there any fires in that game?
No.
What?
What do you think? You haven't played them before. There are no fires in this game. I need to make
my town full of frogs realistic. That's another.
You got
thing.
A lot of frogs?
Three
I got a lot of
frogs
penguins.
In my town.
Oh man, I want 3 octopuses.
Okay, we'll talk more about
Animal
Crossing.
We'll have an Animal Crossing episode next week,
yes.
All right?
Okay. So here is our BNT Awards. E3 was last week, and we're just going to kick it off.
Award for most pizzas given to Andrew for free for having a wrong prediction goes to...
Gareth Stirrup.
But that's not an award. Continue.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I got Mega Man in Smash Brothers.
Good man.
I did not get Simon Belmont, but that game has yet to come out.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. Just had to drink some water. Throat was getting dry. Mouth was getting... So, in terms of Sony and Microsoft, they had fine showings. But thing is, like, I felt like there was not a lot of new stuff shown between the two, between like a PS3 and a PS4, as well as an Xbox One and an Xbox 360. So I'm lumping these together. Like, I'm lumping PS3 games together with PS4, 360
Sony,
games together.
Sony, if you will.
Yes, so we're going to be doing, like, Sony, Xbox, then we're going to do Wii U, 3DS. Yeah, and then we're going to have some different types of rewards. So let's start off with Sony, who a lot of people believe won E3.
Some people, yes.
I think in terms of policies, they sure did. But in terms of games shown, it was nothing really that I was, like, particularly blown away by during their conference.
They did their best to encourage the sort of, you know, gamer culture. Like, fuck the system. You can lend your games to people. Mm-hmm. But what games can we lend?
That being said, it was also one of the best Sony press conferences I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. They were on their A game for once.
And they came, like, even the one that they had with Kevin Butler was really bad.
It wasn't really bad. It was fine.
No,
leave it alone. I like that conference.
That was the one with Marcus in it. That's the one with the Coke in it.
Wait, you don't like Marcus? PSP?
PSP. Step your game up. We're going to come out with a Vita next year, so it doesn't matter anymore.
I had no problem with that. Okay, I had a few problems with that press conference. But now we're talking about this year.
Yes. And I think, like, even last year, they were so close. But then they devoted 20 minutes of a Wonderbook demo for it, which I thought just stopped the show dead in its track, and I just scrubbed through that as quickly as possible because it was not interesting. But this one was pretty good. So let's just jump in right into the meat of the table. Meat and potatoes.
Potatoes and meat.
The nominations for best Sony game for a Sony console are, and these are exclusives, mind you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
So, best Sony exclusive game is Beyond Two Souls, Quantic Dream. And then you have a little clip from the game showing.
Wait, I thought we were going to nominate before we told people about the winner.
No, we are doing the nomination. I'm just doing it the way they do at the Academy Awards, because they show a little clip of the movie.
You're right. I'm willing to phone your Ellen Page. Shut up. Okay, that's the
Beyond Two Souls, Quantic Dream. Yeah,
next
I'm a
nomination.
Ghost. Infamous Second Son. Sucker Punch Productions.
I have electricity in my fists. And the police
it smoked
are bad.
This time. Knack. From the creator of Marble Madness.
Who knows what the fuck this is?
The Last of Us. Naughty Dog Productions.
We're out now. We should go play us. We win everything because we're the best game ever made.
And Killzone Shadowfall. Guerrilla Games.
We have masks on.
They look like grumpy cats.
Edgy.
Okay, so those are your five nominations: Beyond Two Souls, Infamous Second Son, Knack, The Last of Us, and Killzone Shadowfall. Now, two of those are, so Beyond Two Souls and The Last of Us are, of course, PS3 games.
Yes.
All these games look good, and they all look really good. Like, I think Infamous is my favorite PS3 game, I'd have to say. Not really into Killzone, but like it looks absolutely gorgeous, and I think I would be willing to pick up and try this game.
Yeah,
if I have the time to. And Beyond Two Souls, obviously from the makers of Heavy Rain, so it's very story-driven game.
Sorry, I'm just humming the theme song. Mm-hmm. Continue.
The only thing that worries me is that I was reading up on how the controls in Beyond Two Souls is really bad.
Like, is it different than Heavy Rain?
It's kind of the same, but Heavy Rain had kind of pretty bad controls too. Like, you have to hold R2 to walk. Like, you can just tilt the joystick.
No, you don't understand. That's the brilliance of it, Gareth.
Why? What's so brilliant about it?
I don't feel like getting into this right now.
But, like, in Beyond Two Souls, when you play as a ghost, you, instead of just, like, moving around like you normally would in a flying game, you hold R1 to go up vertically, and hold R2 to go down vertically. And then to do an attack, you have to wiggle the joysticks away from each other. It just sounds like a whole unintuitive mess.
Hey, man, play it before you hate it.
I know I should. Infamous, I talked about it. It looks really cool. I'm excited to play it. Knack is the game where you're that robot that grows big. And we have The Last of Us, which I think we can safe to say that we've both played that game.
Well, I haven't.
Oh, I thought you were.
Well, remember I was trying to choose between Animal Crossing and The Last of Us?
Yeah, and you said both.
My wallet disagreed with me.
Oh. Don't worry, you can lend it from me.
Yeah, I know. This is how you share games on the PS3.
Mm-hmm. I think that I would like to give this game to this award to The Last of Us. Now, we're counting The Last of Us because
It came out before E3.
No, it came out after E3 had ended. So, and they were still like, E3 was also dedicated to The Last of Us, and I think I'm only like 3 or 4 hours in, and I can tell you that it is. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a 10 out of 10.
Would you say it's the best game on the PS3, like some people claim?
Well, I need more time with it. That's for sure. I still like Enslaved, Odyssey to the West. Still,
I fucking love that game.
Infamous 1 and 2 are still my favorite games on the PS3. Maybe this will change, but I can tell you, like, The Last of Us is just the whole world building, the voice acting. It's just that it does so much stuff right. And you would like it, because there's a lot of, it's stealth heavy, too.
What makes you think I like stealth games?
Because you like Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
So, I would like to give it to The Last of Us. Could you?
I will wholeheartedly endorse that decision.
Okay, so, the winner for Best Sony Exclusive, the winner of the BNT goes to The Last of Us.
Thank you, Naughty Dog.
Okay. Thank you, Naughty Dog. Yes, you made a fantastic game. You should be really proud of yourself. I know it's hard to compete with Animal Crossing, but you did good. You did good.
You did good, kid.
Mm-hmm. And I really can't wait to play more of it.
And I really can't wait to buy it.
Okay. So moving on, we're going to Best Exclusive on an Xbox Console. This includes Xbox 360 and Xbox One. And the nominees are Dead Rising, bum, 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 bum. Capcom. Dead Rising 3, Capcom. Rise, Son of Rome. God, I'm sorry, I keep calling Rise God of Rome because it looks so much like God of War.
Honestly, so, I don't want to insult you, but why is it even on this list?
Because, like, it's not doing anything, like, new gameplay-wise, but it's really pushing the limits on what a console game can look like.
True.
And I will say, like, I think Crytek's biggest, both their biggest strength and their biggest weakness is that they put more into their graphics than anything else. So, like, you can have, like, the most beautiful game ever made, but the gameplay still falters. So, I commend them on their ability to, like, just squeeze everything out of the hardware, like, of the PS3 and the Xbox 360. Like, they know how to make a game look good, but yeah, so that's why I say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the other nominees are Titanfall, the mech multiplayer Respawn game, former Call of Duty heads. Project Spark was a game that I talked about last week and I was in love with. It was Little Big Planet, but with so much more going on. And finally is Quantum Break, which is Remedy's new game and looks dope.
Like, dope as hell.
Mm-hmm. Well, technically we've only seen a trailer for it, no gameplay, but with what they're saying is that it merges like a TV series and time slowing mechanics. So I don't know if we can give this to either Quantum Break or Rise or Dead Rising 3. I think this really comes down to between Titanfall and Project Spark. Because they're both look like the gameplay's there, and they're taking advantage of the next gen hardware.
Mm.
Now, I am in love with Titanfall,
and it I know you are.
Breaks my heart to know that it's an Xbox One exclusive. Because I'm more leaning towards the PS4. Maybe when. Oh wait. Actually, Titanfall is also being released for the 360, but you know that's going to be a borked version of it. It's not going to be as big and good. I really like what Titanfall looks like, and I'm really excited for that game. But at the end of the day, it's just another online shooter with giant mechs and telekinesis.
You can't say another online shooter like that. That's pretty good concepts that we haven't seen in a while.
I don't know. What do you think, Andrew? Should we give this to Titanfall or should we give this to Project Spark?
The innovator / Gareth in me wants to say Spark, but the Andrew in me / guy that likes Call of Duty says Titanfall. It just looks like way more fun.
Yeah.
Even though it's not as original, it just fucking looks like a blast.
I know. We should give this. I think we've made up our mind.
Titanfall
wins the BNT for
it
best.
It falls into the award
for best exclusive on a Microsoft console. Okay. Next up, we have the Wii U. And the nominees are Bayonetta 2.
Bayonetta, you mystery. It's a something the destiny.
Mario 3D World. I was actually playing Mario 3D Land yesterday, and I didn't realize that there was a special world with the steel Tanuki leaf.
Yeah.
I like that. I like it. It's fun. That special world is really fun.
Yeah.
I think it's just really good. So not much to say about these games. Like, Bayonetta 2 just looks... It's hard to say the Wii U because... It's hard to talk about the Wii U because it's not really doing anything next-gen like the other consoles are. It just feels like these are games that are... should have been on the Wii had the Wii been more powerful. And none of these games are really making too much use of the gamepad. They just look like they're going to be a lot of fun to play.
I can't really relate to that because I don't have a Wii U, so I don't know about That's the current true. Games on there.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. So we have Bayonetta 2, Mario 3 World, which is a Mario 3 platformer, four-player co-op. They have their powers from Mario 2,
mm-hmm.
Princess Peach is playable, Toad is playable.
Finally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not really Toad, though. It's like Blue Toad. I just want Red Toad. Come on, man.
Okay, well, anyway.
It's a color. I know.
It looks like it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. And
yes.
I don't know what it's going to be like if we ever play it together. If we end up hating each other afterwards, or
God,
I hate
you. I have never been so out of love with someone than when I was playing that fucking game. For the Wii, I mean, of course.
Super Mario, like new Super Mario Brothers?
Wii, yeah.
Oh,
God damn it, they keep jumping on me.
We just so our listeners, like me and Andrew have never played it together. He's not
sitting on my
about
shelf
us.
Waiting to be traded in for years. No, Gareth and I love each other unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Even that time I let the ice bag melt in the kitchen overnight.
Yes.
Yes.
All our bread got wet.
Hey, if it helps, my chocolate got ruined too.
Yeah, so when Mario 3D World comes out, should we play it together?
Yes.
Yes, we should.
Shoddy Peach.
Okay. You can hover.
Yeah, you can be Luigi. You got your flutter kick.
Okay, moving on, we have X, which is Monolith Soft from the makers of Xenoblade. It's just this huge open-world RPG where you're giant mechs like Titanfall, and you're fighting dinosaurs and giant robots, and it looks
good, it feels good, the music's good, it's probably going to be good.
His style is impeccable.
My style is moving impetuous, on. My defense is impregnable, and I'm just fierce.
He's wrestler now.
Praise be to Allah.
Brick. So mean he'd make medicine sick.
Thank you, Gareth.
Mario Kart 8. Oh, hover cars.
F-Zero Baby Junior version. I just see Gareth looking at me like I just made a terrible joke, but I think his Skype might be frozen.
No, it's not. It froze on your end for a second, but it's okay now.
So, I blame myself.
Okay, anyway. Mario Kart hover carts.
Eight.
Infinity.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
It's just more Mario Kart. Yeah. One thing I'm hoping that they do, I like how they have the classic tracks remade for the new era of graphics.
Of course, I always love when they. That's the best thing that I think it was Mario Kart DS that started doing that.
Yeah, but I really want to see just like more new courses. Than there are old courses.
Especially,
I just
want to
see how
new courses
they can get.
Exactly. I like creativity. I don't like gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess it's kind of a weird difference, you know? Like, Waluigi Pinball, one of the greatest courses there is.
Yes.
I guess you could call it gimmicky, but, like, it still, like, was very much based on skill and stuff. You know, you didn't, like, fly through half the level on a big ramp or something. I don't know, man. I'm just...
Yeah.
Something I'd call a gimmicky course is that Coconut Mall, was that? No, the Mii Mall, whatever it was, in Mario Kart Wii. Remember that level?
Yeah, no, I didn't play Mario Kart Wii. I've only played Mario Kart Wii with you and a few other people. I don't think I've ever played that level. I never played Mario Kart Wii a lot because I didn't
like... It was
like
not that good, yeah.
The motion controls, and I didn't like... It's just...
I didn't really like anything about it. Mario Kart 7 was pretty good, but DS is still my favorite of the series.
Like, I think that had one of the best... Mario Kart 7 had one of the best multiplayers in a Nintendo game.
It was a blast, yeah, definitely.
And it worked. Like, it actually worked.
But were you talking about Mario Kart, or are we talking about E3? Come on, man.
Super Smash Brothers! You!
Melee Brawl, nothing. It's got no subtitle.
Yeah, anyway, Super Smash Brothers looks like the way it's always been. This time we have the Wii Fit Trainer. It's gonna
Animal Crossing Villager.
Yoga poses in your face and give you 300% damage. I don't know what I'm talking about.
You're drunk.
No. Yeah, like there's the thing about Smash Bros. It's gonna be the same, kind of be the same thing, just tweaked a little bit.
Well, they're making it a tad more competitive, which is obviously a good thing.
Which is good for you. That's what you want, because would you say that that's your disappointment with Brawl?
I would say that I have zero disappointments with Brawl. I fucking love
that
game.
That's true. That's true. Like, I loved it. I just thought you were more, like, on the Melee
side. I like Brawl better than Melee because I was better at it because it was easier. But at the same time, I relish a little bit more of a challenge, I guess.
That's true. Another unfortunate thing, we do not know if there's any single-player experience like the Subspace Emissary.
I imagine there will be.
Yes, and I hope they. They also didn't really say any if there's going to be like any gamepad.
I feel like the Subspace Emissary was very poorly received for some reason. Although
I thought it was an amazing, wonderful
undertaking.
Like it's everybody's fan fiction published by Amazon. OC characters sold to Nintendo.
I know I joke about it a lot, but I've never actually read a fan fiction, so I have no idea, especially regarding Smash Bros. what the response was. But we can't really judge fan fictions as fan response.
But, like, I think... Like, I love the Subspace Emissary. Like,
me
people
too.
People I played it with loved it. And it did, like, give you that lasting appeal. More of a lasting... Like, it just gave you, like... I don't know. Just because Smash Brothers has just always been a multiplayer game. And it's just something that you could just lone wolf. And you don't have to keep your GameCube on overnight to unlock Mewtwo, which I did. Me and my friend, when one of my friends slept over and we set like a 99 stock battle with four players and we just slept our GameCube on overnight and we had Mewtwo the morning after. It was glorious.
Mewtwo.
I don't know. It's just something that I associate with the GameCube is just going over to people's places and playing games just because I was at that age where you just go over to people's houses all the time. So those are our five nominees: Bayonetta 2, Mario 3D World, X, Mario Kart 8, Super Smash Brothers with Mega Man.
I'm tempted to say just because of the tangent we went off on, Smash Bros. Seems the obvious winner.
Mm-hmm. I want to give it to X because I want a new IP to grace the Wii U, and I want a new IP to sell well to show Nintendo.
We can both agree that Xenoblade was a revolutionary and amazing title, but have either of us played it?
No, but...
But which one of us has not played 100 hours of Smash Bros.?
You have.
You have too.
That's yes. No, I left it on overnight.
Well, okay. You know what I mean.
So I guess let's give it to Super Smash.
We want to give X as much recognition as we can because it looks fucking awesome, and it's great that they're giving Nintendo such a gift, a third party beautiful gift.
And I think
Smash Bros. Will always be
when it comes out. I will definitely play X, and I will when we're at like episode 25 or something, and it comes out, and I'll let you know how good it is. I hope it's good, at least. So, yes. Because we talked about it for so much, let's just give it to Super Smash Brothers.
Agreed.
Okay. So, the BNT Award for Best Wii U Game goes to Super Smash Brothers.
I think you did a good thing.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. moving on to the 3DS. We have some great games. We have Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. We have Mario & Luigi Dream Team, which is my most anticipated game of the summer so far. comes out in August.
We'll be here.
August 11th, and it's going to be awesome, I think, just because I love that series. Next one is Pokemon XY. I know you're a little down on it, but...
I'm not down on it. I'm just trying not to hear anything about it.
But it really sounds like... what's his name again? Junichi Masuda?
Junichi Masuda, yeah.
Yeah, Masuda. The way he's just been talking about it and all the features that he's been talking about, it sounds like this is the game that's going to just revolutionize the game.
Rip everyone's assholes open and fill it with rainbows.
Yeah, and they're also doing some cool stuff with multiplayer, in which that you become friends with people that you battle and trade with online.
Yeah.
And they're doing like 5-on-1 battles. to catch more, like, not legendaries, but
I think those are stupid.
And they're also doing sky battles where only flying and type Pokemon and Pokemon with the levitate ability can fight.
I'm okay with that.
So you better have an Emolga with thunder.
I've got a Volcarona. What is that? Fire and bug.
Fire bug, but it
does no levitate.
Can't use that. Okay. And final, Super Smash Brothers 3DS version, Black Line Edition, and Yoshi's New Island. So
I know we just gave Smash Bros. To the previous category, but we are both huge Yoshi's Island fans.
Yes. And I'm worried about the art style, though. I don't know.
Go and fuck a brick, man. The art style is perfect for this game.
I know.
It's like a cross between Yoshi's Story and Yoshi's Island.
Okay, let's give it... I kind of want to give it to Pokemon.
Yeah, you know, people have been begging for years for a Pokemon experience in 3D on a handheld. And, like, they could have done it with a DS, and they didn't. And the time has come. It's going to be good.
But that being said, we had a Pokemon game come out last year. We haven't had a Yoshi's Island game come out in a long time.
Doesn't mean we got to give it the award.
But I want to also give it to Mario and Luigi.
Because you love that series.
Yes. You take this one.
You're going to let me take this
yes.
one?
Yes.
Well, I haven't played Bowser's Inside Story.
So your opinion does not matter, is what you are trying to say.
That is exactly what I'm trying to say. Although, you told me I could skip Partners in Time, right?
Yeah, this Partners in Time wasn't really good at all.
Good.
Okay.
Let's both take this one. I'm going to give it to Pokemon.
Oh! Wow!
Because it's trying something new, in quotations. And it's very exciting. It's going to be good. And I find that, for some weird reason, Pokemon keeps, with the exception of Black and White 2, upping the quality of their games.
Yeah, and apparently, even the music, it's not compressed anymore and it's not edited, so I think it's going to sound richer. I'm going to give this to Pokemon 2.
Good man.
Okay, so the BNT, anyway, BNT goes to Pokemon X and Y.
Bacon tomato.
It should be a good game. Hopefully it's a good game. And like you like the multiplayer in Diamond and Pearl, so
yeah, I did.
The multiplayer should be even better than it was before.
Oh yeah.
And then now I'm thinking like what the remake of Ruby and Sapphire is
yes!
going to look like on this with this style of it. Where it's just going to be fully 3D Hoenn version.
Oh, Hoenn.
Hoenn,
and
whatever.
Overall, the third generation Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald is still my favorite. I can't explain why. It's probably just at the age that I was at. I still love that game to death.
I unfortunately skipped that and didn't come back to it until years later.
I know.
And it's good. It's good. I still...
Can you imagine my excitement climbing a tower and then Rayquaza's at the top? Oh my god. Rayquaza was awesome. He was a boss in Smash Bros. That's how awesome
he is. Yeah, that was really cool. That's what I want to see the Subspace Emissary come back. It's just like other Nintendo stuff.
Man, Porky, Mother 3. Everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? That was awesome.
And you were the only one that knew.
Like, oh my god.
Is that like when you played Super Smash Bros. Brawl with your friends, did they all know who Porky was, or were you the only one that like could keep
They kept making up? Jokes, because I always say my favorite game is Mother 3. Like, what is that? Like a birthing game? You know, teach you how to have babies? Like,
fucking idiots.
Yeah, they don't. Mother, man. That's. Whatever. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm too drunk to talk about this.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so here's a fun award that we can do. We want to do biggest surprise.
Whoa, didn't see that coming.
Whoa.
What a surprise.
Wow. So here's some of the biggest surprises at E3.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lump these first two together. Because I felt like they're really close together. So Final Fantasy Versus 13 becomes Final Fantasy 15, and it looks awesome. And Kingdom Hearts 3 gets announced, which it was on everybody's mind.
I would have to digress and say that that is actually the bigger surprise is that they didn't stop making Final Fantasy 13. Never mind the fact that they changed the title. Mm-hmm. I thought they had abandoned that game.
Yeah, like everybody did. Like they even during last summer, I think people from Square Enix said, "Yeah, we scrapped Final Fantasy versus 13."
Trolls.
Mm-hmm. But it was like amazing.
A very welcome surprise.
See the gameplay,
and it looks come good. Out.
It looks so, it looks really good.
Yeah, original in a way.
We still have yet to see what happens with Overworld and visiting towns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but hopefully it's different from Final Fantasy 13.
My biggest question is that we saw so many different scenarios for the battles, like fucking climbing a building and shit. So is this like special battles, or is every battle in the game fucking weird?
I have a feeling that it's going to be a lot like Kingdom Hearts, where you go to
or Crisis Core.
You have like an open world. Like, you have your traverse town, and you just can run around it fully, and you, like, go to a certain part of town, and then enemies just spawn.
Yeah.
And then you fight them in that area. I have a feeling that's what it's going to be like, where you're just... And I have a feeling it's... I kind of have a feeling that versus that Final Fantasy 15 is just going to take place entirely in this one giant, sprawling city.
That'd be awesome.
Because I think from what I've just been piecing together, it's like a story about the mafia.
Huh.
And so I think it's just going to be about this giant city. And the city's just going to be have like different types of areas that all
have
their different styles.
I'd be surprised if they didn't go to some stupid field thing later on. I mean, my least favorite part of Final Fantasy VII is leaving Midgar. So if they had the entire story take place in the city, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. And if they do that, it'll make sense to have the battle system like that. So I assume that that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So our next biggest surprise is that Sony, on their at their press conference, says, we are not going to do what Xbox One is doing. We're going to... You don't need an online connection to play games, and you can sell your games as much as you want. Which was... Oh! Like, I thought for sure that Sony was going to do the same thing.
Because we hadn't heard anything. They had not confirmed or denied.
Because the thing is, like, if Microsoft is getting... Because Microsoft was obviously doing that because of pressure from publishers.
Yes.
So...
And investors.
Yeah, and so it only made sense that the same publishers would want the same thing to happen on the Sony console.
It's interesting, yeah.
And then it didn't happen. So you knew that Microsoft was full of shit, and they were just doing this because fuck it.
Yeah.
Okay, our next two surprises, they both came out of the EA press conference. And that is, I think, the biggest smile I've seen on your face when we've ever recorded this show was when Battlefront 3 was announced.
Feels good, man.
And it looks like it takes place on Hoth.
Well, it doesn't take place on Hoth, obviously, but it's a nice touch for Andrew Rook to see the little teaser takes place on Hoth. I'll give them that.
And the next is Mirror's Edge 2 gets announced.
I would argue it's inevitable. Well-received game. A lot of people like it.
Mm-hmm.
Only
it didn't
time.
Sell well, though. That's the problem. And
Earthbound.
I was really interested in it, but when it first came out, it was only like... I heard it was only like five hours long.
Yeah.
I thought I should wait till it drops in price. And then I just forgot about it.
I think I picked up my copy for like $10.
Yeah, I should really get into that. But what I thought was very interesting is that at the end of the trailer, instead of it having a date, it just said, it's coming when it's ready. So which means like they're taking their time on that game and they're going to try to make it as good as possible.
Yeah.
And our final surprise is, we've talked about this a lot, was Mega Man was in Smash Brothers. Which was completely shocking. A, because he's not a Nintendo character, and B, it's like Capcom has just given up on Mega Man in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
Mega Man Legends 3! So close. We were so close to Mega Man Legends 3.
The Wind Waker of the Mega Man series.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's okay, because they've righted their wrong now. We've got Mega Man 2 in Smash Bros.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Of course, he would have been the last one if anyone had asked the guy. Poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy that they righted that wrong. I hope it doesn't mean the loss of Snake, mind you, but I'm happy Meg Mansion.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
So what do you think was the biggest surprise?
I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, Kingdom Hearts 3, it's not like Half-Life 3 was being announced. It's just Kingdom Hearts 3. We knew it was coming. Final Fantasy 13 existing and being 15, that is my biggest surprise of
E3. Yes, that was incredible. Even
like
the way
back from the dead.
Even the way they spun it was like, you knew it was Final Fantasy versus 13 because it had the same little logo, like a fantasy based in reality. But then it changes, like they get rid of the versus 13 and the X and the V come in. I'm like, oh my god. Like,
and all it is a title change. Yeah, like, that's it. But it
but
still
like,
means so much.
It still looks really good.
Yeah.
And again, like, you gotta commend Square Enix for doing something completely different with their key franchise.
Yeah.
And
I'm totally happy about it.
I'm with you there. Like, I'm gonna give this to Final Fantasy. I'm gonna give this to the Square Enix announcements.
Good for you guys.
BNT for...
That must
That's
be the new
surprise.
President not fucking things over. See? Mm-hmm. He's like, he goes in, takes power, like, yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 3. Just like, oh, hell nah. We gotta fix this shit.
Yeah, what the fuck's going on here? Wow. Deus Ex? Why would he publish that?
Oh, have you seen Deus Ex? I know.
The Fall on the iPad?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What do you think?
Oh, man.
Virtual buttons and joysticks?
On the one hand, come on, man. I don't own an iPad. I don't want to play this shit in my iPhone, but I'm gonna get it. I think they're doing an amazing job at emulating a console experience on the iPad or iPhone. I'm just sad that I have to play it on it because I don't like playing games on it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm still going to get it for $15 or however much it is.
Okay. Because you love your Deus Ex.
I do.
Okay.
I just bought the original on the PC.
So now we're going into the more serious awards. We got to start going through these fast because we've hit an hour. So, next category is best next-generation game. What this means is that it's a game that's specifically tailor-made for the PS4, the Xbox One, maybe the Wii U. but not only is it tailor-made for that, but they're also doing something completely different with it, with the game. And they are going to just change the game and change how we look at video games. So, let's get it over with. Watch Dogs, The Crew, Destiny, Project Spark, Division. We talked about Project Spark, Watch Dogs a lot. The Crew is a...
Interesting choice.
It's a racing game from Ubisoft, and it just... Open world, USA. You could drive from California to New York. It'll take like 9 hours, but you can still do it. Like, you can drive... Like, this is the way they're talking about it. Like, you're in Nevada, you see Vegas in the background, and like... You can drive from where you are to Las Vegas. And
it's just like desert bus.
Like no loading screens. It just all happens instantaneously. And they also merge single player and multiplayer seamlessly. Like there's no lobbies. Like your crew just gets called in to be together and you just go right away. And you just do missions together.
Yeah.
Destiny is... The Halo Guys new game, it's like a MMO
Halo Guys.
MMO shooter. Looks really cool. I think I'm not as excited as everybody else seems to be, but, you know.
Yeah, it's
a lot
cool,
of people are excited for it. And The Division, which is kind of doing the same thing as The Crew. It's like merging multiplayer with single player seamlessly. It's kind of like an MMO. It's set in New York in a post-apocalyptic present. And when everything gets wiped out, but it looks really cool. Like, I urge everybody to watch the trailer.
Okay.
So, I would like to give this award to Watch_Dogs.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Explain.
I just want to give this to this game because it really is doing something completely different in this game. Like, and it's actually just, I don't know what it is about it, but it's just, I don't know.
I wouldn't say it's doing anything completely different.
It's not doing completely different, but, like, the whole idea is where, like, you can go in the city, and if the cops are chasing, like, you they tell them to put your hands up, and you put your hands up, and then you can, like, hack into the city's like power source with your phone, and then the power shuts down for 15 seconds so you can run away from them. And it's just, and it's just making it like large scale. It just looks really so cool. And like, I know it's not doing anything different, but like there's also parts like where you're telling your friend to, you're not in the stealth section, but you're like, you're looking through a camera at your friend that's trying to avoid guards, and you're, so you're telling him when to move, but at the same time,
it's just
like
Man of Steel.
Also hacking into the art sculptures around him to move up to help create cover for him. It just, like, they're doing some cool stuff with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not gonna take it away from you. It looks like a cool game.
Okay. There we go. So the BNT for best next gen game is watch_dogs.
Is it actually, is there actually an underscore in there, or is that just
on the box art says watch_dogs. Okay. Leet.
LL wait. 1337.
Yes. Next category is best sequel. And here we have Infamous Second Son, Mario 3, which was the best PS3 game, Mario 3D World, which was the best 3D Mario game, Final Fantasy 15, which is the best JRPG game, Metal Gear Solid 5, from the best stealth series, and Call of Duty Ghost, from the best series to be called a faggot online.
I'm going to give it to 5.
Metal Gear Solid 5?
Yep.
Okay.
Because it's a series that continues to try and spice things up, story-wise
Poor
and
stealth.
Gameplay-wise. And it looks pretty as hell.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to have to go with you there. Like, it does, in, like, even, because someone was pointing this out to me, but even in that trailer, they're showing off the, like, the 5 main villains in that game. Much like in Metal Gear Solid 1, when you have Decoy Octopus and Revolver Ocelot.
Falcon Raven, Revolver Ocelot.
So it feels, and Snake Eater when you have the sorrow and the hunger and the pain and everything.
The fear!
Mm-hmm. So it looks like it's good, but it's just like, they're just dudes with super human abilities or something. It looks cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always hated the aspect Metal Gear, but it does look cool.
Okay, then. Well, I'm going to give this one to you. You're going to take Metal Gear Solid 5. BNT for best sequel.
Yes.
Now we have best original game. This is not part, a game that is not part of any series. We have
a new IP.
A new IP, in fact. Murdered Soul Suspects, which is L.A. Noir Ghosts. It looks really good. You wear a vest, some suspenders, I assume, a tie.
A hat.
Yeah, you're a ghost and you solve crimes. Then we have The Division, Watch Dogs, The Witness, which is Jonathan Blow, the creator of Raid's new game. It's a puzzle, open-world puzzle, where you're stuck on an island. You do puzzles, flip switches, and such and such. And it looks, it just looks completely gorgeous. And Jonathan Blow is a really creative individual, and I'm sure that he'll know. Because, like, I was too stupid for Braid. And like, but at the same time, like, when you finally figure out how to solve the puzzles, they just become, you feel like even bigger idiot because it's so obvious how it's done. So The Witness, and finally X. We talked about this before. The Wii U RPG.
Sorry, I'm just trying to think of which one I wanted to win.
I know.
What do you say, Gareth?
It's hard. Well, in terms of originality, like, when it comes down to the end of the day, like, The Division is just another shooter. X is another JRPG.
Yeah.
Murdered Soul
Suspect. I mean,
Murdered
X is an interesting
Soul
setting, but
Suspect is a spin on the L.A. Noir game.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to Watch Dogs. We kind of seen a little bit of it before here and there.
Yeah.
But I'd say that when it comes down to originality, I think Jonathan Blow has it all down pat with The Witness. I think we're going to have to give the B&T to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In terms of doing something new, but not necessarily next gen. Mm-hmm. Very similar categories.
Yes.
But yeah, I know. I'll give it to it.
So, okay. Congratulations to The Witness. Okay. Now, we're almost done, Andrew. We're almost done. So next category is biggest disappointment. So the things that we were most upset with throughout the show. And our nominees are Microsoft's failure to communicate and having...
If you want to put it that way.
Yes, having the worst PR of anything ever.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Ever. Ever. Ever.
Forever, ever.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they did not... Yeah, they were just being, like, insulting to everybody. And I was watching one guy that was... He was doing an interview with Major Nelson, and he said, wouldn't it be really easy to just flip a switch and turn off the Wi-Fi, the online requirement? And Major Nelson just pulls the mic out of his hand. He's like, are you on the development team? And he's like, no, I'm not. Well, then you don't know how easy... You don't know that it's easy. That's not easy. And then yesterday they turn all that off. It's
so many people must got fired over the course of that week.
Yeah, like it was really bad. Like they I was actually tweeting about this the other day that they just need to do a Nintendo Direct, their own version of Nintendo Direct, where they have Don Matrick sitting in his office with little Luigi's hiding in, on the desk, where he just explains why they're not doing used games. Like, just say, hey,
yeah,
this is screwing a lot of people. Used games are screwing a lot of people out of a lot of money. And we're just trying to do that. And maybe, like, I don't know how, like, the only thing I could think of where you could spin the always online requirement is that you look at games like The Crew and The Division, which just switched from single player to multiplayer on the fly.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. And like, you talk about those games, talk about why you did that. And then you apologize for not being clear with your message. Like, they just need to do like a little 15-minute Microsoft Direct to explain it all.
But they didn't. And now they're screwed.
Mm-hmm. Now they look weak. Yeah. Another big disappointment was that there was no new Nintendo IP.
No. Yet, but yes.
Yeah. And I also tweeted a bit, again, like, follow me on Twitter if you want, cuz you're basically getting a beard and tie, 50% beard and tie throughout the week where I just throw off tweets. I tweeted at Nintendo and I said, make a Nintendo Land style mini game that shows off the gamepad, but don't have Nintendo characters because you're not going to get the casual crowd. Hmm. But call it Cats U. Just make all the characters cats, put googly eyes on them, make them meow, and you'll get a lot more people that way. You just have to do, like, in your next Mario game, you just turn them into a cat. I don't know.
What is it even, cats?
They're cute. Another disappointment was the fact that Rise, Son of Rome just does nothing new. It's just the most unoriginal game I've ever seen. And it just looks so, it's going to be good. It's going to be well made and it's going to play well. It's just going to...
Not really bring anything
to the table. It's just going to be meh. It's just going to be a meh game. Like, meh.
Yeah.
Meh. Meh. And finally, Plants vs. Zombies goes after the Call of Duty crowd. What happens? We've all played Plants vs. Zombies, little tower defense, cute, hilarious game where you place your plants. They turn that into a third-person online shooter in this, kind of like Team Fortress 2.
Hmm.
And it looks atrocious.
I don't know why they messed with a good thing.
I don't know either. It's even called Garden Warfare.
Yeah.
Like, how much closer can we get this to appeal to Call of Duty fans? Call it Garden Warfare. I just, like, you had one of the most creative, not creative, but one of the most, like, pleasant games ever made.
Good adjective.
Yeah, thanks. But you had, like, one of the best, like, that's your best, Plants vs. Zombies is PopCap's best game. Just, and it's really fun, and they do something really cool with the tower defense genre. And then they do this. It's just, it just looks so bad. So those are our nominees. I'd like to say that the winner was that Nintendo has not created a new IP.
Really?
Yes.
That is your biggest disappointment.
Yes. Because when it comes down to it, it's all about the games, not the magical box that they come from.
I think anyone would be a fool not to think that Xbox was not the biggest embarrassment of the industry in years.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Well, my opinion is that we didn't get any new, no new ideas from Shigeru Miyamoto.
Well, do we get many new ideas from other people? I'd say Nintendo offered just as many as everyone else did. Not from May.
Yeah, I just want to see a new IP. Like, I just want to see a new character that will come from, that'll be in Super Smash Brothers. Next
like one. A Travis Touchdown.
Yes. We're getting that with, like, the Wonderful 101 and X. And I even said, like, if you want to support the Wii U, just, if you're interested in it all, buy Wonderful 101. Mm-hmm. Buy it the first week. And if you don't want them to release their older games, don't buy those games. which is tough to say, but, like, an interesting way to do it would be, like, buy Wonderful 101 day one, but hold off on buying, like, Mario 3D World and Donkey Kong Country Returns. Like, hold off on buying it.
This is getting too political, man.
Because, no, but that'll show them, like, the sales will look bad in the beginning for them, and it'll probably help them turn. So that's just, I just think no new Nintendo IPs, because they have a new console. Like, even Wii Fit and Wii Sports, those were new IPs for them.
Technically.
And they were their best-selling IPs.
You mean Nintendo Land doesn't count?
No. okay. But yeah, but, like, yeah, I know where you're coming from. Like, the Xbox One.
I know where you're
One,
coming from.
The Xbox One was a really big embarrassment. But at the same time, like, their press conference was really good. Like, I thought it was better than Sony's press conference.
Okay, well,
do you
want to
rock,
paper,
man. Scissors for this?
Here, I'll just give mine the T and you give yours the B.
Okay. So, Xbox One gets the T award for biggest disappointment, and Nintendo gets the B award for biggest disappointment.
There you go.
Okay, and finally, we're going to go on to Game of the Show. And our nominees are... Titanfall. Final Fantasy 15.
That's from 10, never mind.
The Division. Heal. Quick heal. The Crew. And Super Smash Brothers.
Howdy, come
on! Okay. And I think we've talked in length of all these games.
Yes.
Like, Titanfall is really the game that I'm excited. I'm more excited than anything.
For the game that you don't get to play?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to remind me.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you could. As we saw at E3, the Xbox was just running on PCs, so...
No, but that actually happens. Apparently, like, that happens with even Nintendo consoles.
Windows is a good console.
Mm-hmm. Just because, they're built on PC. Games are built on PCs. And,
yeah.
Because we saw when they were in Ubisoft's, PS, I don't know whose press conference it was, but when they demoed Assassin's Creed 4, on the PS4, it just froze mid-gameplay. So, I think they do that because the games are still, they're not ready for release yet, and it's more stable to do it this way.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, game of E3 is? Have you even decided yet?
No, I was hoping that you would help me. But like,
I don't know, man. I'm a fucking fanboy. I'll probably say Smash Bros. If you don't change my mind.
Titanfall looks so good, though, and you love Call of Duty. This one just has giant robots and jetpacks and parkour.
It looks really good. I don't want to say it's the best game of E3 because it's a game I won't get to play.
But Final Fantasy 15 also looks good.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. It looks very good.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a reason to get a PS4 more than Smash Bros. Is a reason to get a Wii U? Maybe. I don't know.
I like the way that... So you're saying, like, which of these games is the best system seller?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to figure out, personally.
Hmm. Because I'm think... Because, like, I'm really excited for The Crew. I'm really... Like, I don't know. Like, I don't even like racing games, and The Crew just looks so good.
It's a very cool concept. Would you say it's the game of E3?
I don't know. I don't think it's... I don't really think it's the game of E3.
This is tough, isn't it?
This is tough. Well, okay, let's try to narrow it down. I think... I made my pick that I like Titanfall as the game of E3. And you like Smash... And would you say Smash Brothers is your pick of E3?
I guess so.
But you've already seen...
I see some actual gameplay.
Yes, that's the thing. Well, they were doing, like... Sakurai was playing against Bill Trinan.
Yes, that's true. And
they were doing the live demo with that, but nobody could play it. Ah, this is tough. Because I also like Super Smash Brothers. But at the same time, Super Smash Brothers is going to be the same game. Same gameplay mechanics that we've seen before. That being said, Titanfall is going to be the same gameplay mechanics we've seen before.
But it's kind of spiced up enough to make it very interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just want to give it to Titanfall?
Yes, I want to give it to Titanfall.
There you go. Okay. Go ahead, man. It goes against everything I believe in.
Mm-hmm. So Titanfall wins the BNT Award for Game of the Show E3 2013. I'd like to say congratulations to all our nominees. Like, I would never guess that Final Fantasy 15 would... After Final Fantasy 13 came out, I never would have guessed that Final Fantasy 15 was going to be, like, was going to blow me away the way it did.
All I'm going to say is 13 looked good when it was just getting trailers, and we all know how that turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope it's better.
Yeah. Okay, so I think this has been our E3 2013 awards for the Beard and Tie, our BNT awards, E3 edition 2013.
Our Breakfast Television Awards.
Mm-hmm. And, man, we've been talking for way too long. I think we
I can only hope anyone who's lasted this long, mail us your address in the mail, and we will send you a $5 coupon to Colonel's Popcorn.
Okay.
You can live with that?
Send us your home address. Canada only.
Canada only.
International
only.
Shipping rate supply.
Pay.
Okay. Anyway, we gotta let our listeners go. We gotta let you go. You gotta let me go. So let's
just gotta let go.
Let's just say thank you for listening. Sorry, it's been so long. Make sure to like us on Facebook, Beard and Tie Podcast. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Sergeant Sound Revolver. I tweet a lot. It'll be like you're getting. And smaller shows throughout the day.
Who could not want that?
Who could not? Minus the tea.
And next week, we talk about Animal Crossing, maybe.
Next week, we get up to our old shenanigans.
We might even be in the same room when we do it. Wouldn't that be fun?
We are in the same room right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you, Andrew. Thank you for always being here with me. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you, Gareth, and the rest of the people that are listening. Pleasure as always.
Okay.
Happy E3, everyone.
We'll see you next year.